Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It's about that time. Welcome to this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And we are so glad that you're rocking with us for another day here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. Another absolutely gorgeous day here in mid-Michigan. I mean, it can't get any better than this, folks. You know, what I love about this, you know, the humidity isn't crazy, so you don't get that crowd going crazy about that. It's so cool, calm, comfortable. It's hot but not too hot, cool but not too cool. Just a gorgeous day. Not a cloud in the sky, literally. Just go outside and look up. Nothing but blue. Nothing but blue, folks. Amazing stuff. So hopefully you guys are enjoying these fantastic summer days. And we hope that us here at Current Sports are making your day even more sunnier every time you turn on, WKAR's Current Sports. So it is now August 1st. Can you believe that? It is the first of the month.
What?
Crazy, I know. And that means that football is right around the corner. And actually, when it comes to, you know, the NFL, tonight I guess the NFL officially gets underway with the Hall of Fame game as the Falcons and the Broncos, Atlanta and Denver, we'll go at it tonight at 8 p.m. to kick off NFL Hall of Fame weekend. It's a really cool weekend. You know, I've talked to people that have gone to NFL Hall of Fame weekend. Heck, our very own Ray from Indiana. I remember when Ray called up because Kurt Warner was going in. He is a diehard Kurt Warner fan. And Ray called up and talked about how just amazing it was to be there in Canton, Ohio. They do it up. You know, I hear from a lot of people that it's a good, like, road trip with your buddies kind of weekend. There's things happening all throughout the weekend out in Canton, Ohio, starting with, of course, the Hall of Fame game. And it's not like to enjoy the experience. You have to go to the Hall of Fame game. I mean, it's NFL preseason football. But it will just be good to see football back on the television tonight. Awesome, awesome stuff. And, you know, we've been talking about some NFL storylines throughout this week. You know, you heard my rant about my Dallas Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott holding out, and how I'm at a point now where I'm just like, I really don't care. Pay him or don't. I really do not care. He's out in Mexico living it up. And I made a really, I felt, compelling argument that, you know, you could pay that money to Dak Prescott based on his productivity since he has entered the league. So we talked about that. Also, Michael Thomas of the New Orleans Saints, he became the highest paid wide receiver in the game's history. $100 million deal. Pretty remarkable stuff there. And we've touched on a few storylines coming out of Detroit Lions training camp, which I'll expound upon on today's Current Sports. And I also want to talk about, because I believe that Le'Veon Bell, I mean, he's the guy. He's the face that comes to mind when you think about all of these superstars in the NFL deciding to hold out. I mean, now it's not like you don't even have to be a, you know, a guy who may get the franchise tag or a guy with, you know, going into his final year. I mean, you can have multiple years left on your deal. And we are seeing superstars saying, nope, I want to be paid more. Pay me more or I will not show up to camp. And I want to compare Because I also believe that this is a factor with some of these players, is that they're looking at what NBA players are being paid, and they're comparing that to their salary, and they're not happy. Especially when you talk about the NFL being the most popular league in America. Why is there such a big pay gap? So I want to touch on that. Also, I'm really excited about our guest for today's Current Sports. And we brought this story to you all at the beginning of the week as three former Lansing Catholic football players who decided to kneel during the national anthem in Colin Kaepernick fashion back during their playing days. You know, they got a lot of press, you know, and a lot of people had their opinion about it, positive or negative. You guys know where I side on that whole thing. I loved it. Had no problem with it at all. And presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke invited three of the four young men, the four off at college still, to attend the presidential debates at Fox Theater, downtown Detroit, which we've watched these last 2 days. Absolutely awesome stuff. So we are going to have around the 1:30 mark, the man who was the brainchild behind, you know, those four young men in total deciding to kneel during the national anthem to stand up for racial injustice and inequality here in these United States of America. Michael Lynn III will be joining us here on Current Sports at 1:30 to talk about, you know, how this recognition came about when it comes to Beto O'Rourke reaching out and inviting Mike and three of his three of his teammates, but two showed up with Mike, because again the fourth is off at college. But how this whole thing came about and what Mike's life has been like since he made that decision, because there were a lot of people that did not like this decision from Michael Lynn III. And there are, you know, it's split. You know, I still have conversations to this day from people who, you know, are on one side of the fence where you're saying, oh, yeah, this is great. You know, standing up for your rights. You know, this is, you know, protests are supposed to be uncomfortable. This is great. Fantastic stuff. And, you know, this shows a level of maturity from Mike and these three other young men to do this. And then you got people on the other side of the fence to say you should not be disrespecting the national anthem this way. This goes against the fabric of America. How could you? So it's 50-50. I've had conversations both ways. So I'm wondering, you know, how Mike has dealt with this publicity and backlash. So Michael Lynn III will be joining us later on this hour on Current Sports. And then on the back end, we will have Throwback Thursday, where we take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. Phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And you know what? Maybe you do have a question for Mike. I mean, when he comes on this show, let's have an open dialogue about this. You know, if you have a question for Mike or want to speak to him directly on the air when we do have him on the hour, on the show, during the show, you know, call up and pose that question. You know, I think the young man can handle his own. Because I think that when having this conversation of kneeling during the national anthem, and when we discuss what Colin Kaepernick was trying to do, is still trying to do, in raising awareness for inequality here in America, I just think that some people just don't understand that. And if you are puzzled, you know, again, I'm all about open dialogue and trying to sympathize and you know, dive into one's opinions on this topic. So 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News, where you can check out the live stream there and comment below that video. You can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next? Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. Okay. All right, let's start here. After conceding a late goal in Saturday's 1-1 draw with South Georgia Tormenta, Lansing Ignite wasn't going to let that happen again in front of last night's home crowd. Goals from Toomey Moshbane and Pato Botella-Fize gave the Ignite a 2-0 win at Cooley Law School Stadium in a matchup between the third and fourth place teams in USL League One. With the victory, you know, Lansing now maintains its position in third place with 30 points. It's level with Tormenta in points for second place, but Tormenta has a better goal differential. The Ignite are now unbeaten in their past six matches and have won 9 of their past 10. Quite remarkable stuff. Way to rally. And, of course, yes, Nate Miller, head coach of Lansing Ignite, is still suspended due to, of course, comments in which he went at the officials. Okay. The Tigers, the Detroit Tigers, moves at the deadline. Might have been more exciting than their entire regular season performance so far, with Shane Green being sent to the Atlanta Braves for prospects Joey Wentz and Travis Demirde, while Nicholas Castellanos netted pitchers Paul Richen and Alex Lang in return. Definitely good because the Tigers get some pieces in return by trading Castellanos and setting him up. Instead of letting him walk at the end of the season, and which really it looked like for a moment that that was going to happen, you know, due to the fact that the Tigers didn't make a move up until like the last minute of the trade deadline.
And you know for sure that he would have walked, too, because of his old spiel about Comerica Park and, you know, how he was feeling at the point.
Exactly. And that whole rant is like, come on, dude, really? So, yeah, I'm just glad that the Tigers were able to get, you know, something done here. And speaking of the Tigers, when it comes to what they did on the diamond, well, their bats went to work last night as they scratched across 5 runs in the 8th inning alone to wallop the LA Angels 9-1. Right fielder Brandon Dixon tallied 4 RBIs, and Gordon Beckham, not related to Odell or David, tallied across 3 ribbies in the win. Starting pitcher Daniel Norris picked up his first win since May 12th, and the Tigers won their first series in 2 months. All right, some news coming out of Detroit Lions camp. You know, not anything breaking here because this has been taking place for a while now, starting with the holdout with these two players. But a week after Darius Slay and Damon Snacks Harrison reported on time to training camp, the Detroit Lions are still waiting for both players to begin practice. Now, the Lions play Slay and Harrison on the non-football injury list at the start of camp last week, with head coach Matt Patricia saying at the time the move was done for precautionary reasons, quote, so that guys, when they report to camp that need a little more time, can go out and prepare and be ready to go, end quote. So, when will Slay and Harrison, two of the most important cogs on the Lions defense, finally be ready? This is what Patricia said yesterday, quote, we are just trying to do everything right by the players so they can go out and compete at a high level. Certainly, we are trying to get everybody out there as fast as we can every single day, but we also understand this is kind of a long haul. And we don't want to rush something into a situation where somebody may not be ready to go. And as I noted, both Slay and Harrison, two players who skipped the organized team activities and mandatory minicamp in the spring because of a contract dispute. All right, Baker Mayfield, quarterback, entering his sophomore season now with the Cleveland Browns. He may only be entering his second NFL season, but the Browns QB isn't afraid to get after his star wide receivers when necessary. At a practice last weekend, Mayfield briefly yelled at his receivers for not working back to him while he was scrambling. Yesterday, Mayfield addressed his outburst. This is what he said per ESPN. Quote, those guys know that's a big part of our offense, and they know that. It's just the fact that if we get lazy and let things slide, we need to be open to communicating right now. That's what the good teams do. I'm not going to be a jackass. I'm going to talk through it. I'm going to harp on it. Then I'm going to talk to them. And like I said, we need to be on the same page, end quote. Again, that's coming directly from Baker Mayfield at practice, after practice, I should say, for the Cleveland Browns addressing that outburst. I really think this story is just totally overblown. It's the NFL. It's football. It's intense. He is the quarterback, and I think he's showing some leadership here by going after his star wide receivers. As long as it's not personal, you know, ain't nothing personal, but we all got a job to do, and it's about winning games, and winning time starts in training camp. So I have no problem with this whatsoever when it comes to Baker Mayfield, and I hope his receivers understand that as well. All right, six-time Olympic gold medalist Allyson Felix has signed a multi-year apparel sponsorship contract with, Athena. Just 2 months after speaking out against Nike's treatment of female athletes who took breaks in their career to have children. Now, the financial details regarding the deal were not disclosed. Felix's contract does not cover footwear, which tends to be among the most common sponsorship deals with professional track and field athletes. Felix was a Nike athlete since 2010 after she won gold in the 200 meters at the 07 and 09 IAAF World Championships. Felix's Nike contract expired in December of 2 years ago, back in 2017. She had been sponsored by Adidas for the first 7 years of her pro career. Now, the new contract by Athena includes, quote, full protection during maternity. Felix told People magazine, quote, I'm just really thrilled about it. The way that they are doing sponsorship to me is incredible. It is focused on me as a whole, as an athlete, as a mom, as an activist. And just to be supported in that way is amazing. Now, in May, Felix published an op-ed in the New York Times where she revealed that Nike wanted to pay her 70% less after giving birth to her first daughter, Cameron, through emergency C-section at 32 weeks back in November of 2018. Now, Felix came forward 10 days after after Olympians, Alicia Montano and Kara Gocher spoke out on the maternity policy issues and athlete sponsorship contracts. Nike agreed to change its future contracts with female athletes following the backlash because, yes, that is absolutely ridiculous. Just because a female athlete wants to have children, they should be punished financially because of that. 70% less? Insane. Insane. And I'm quite surprised, though, that, you know, we're talking about Nike here in that conversation because Nike is known to be a forward-thinking company, but not in that regard. So I'm glad that they are changing their policy on that. Okay, Olympic bronze medalist Ashley Wagner said she was sexually assaulted by John Coughlin, becoming the latest figure skater to make an accusation against the former U.S. skater. Now, Wagner, who was 28 years old, detailed the June 2008 assault to USA Today Sports this week, saying that she was 17 when the then 22-year-old Coughlin climbed in her bed and kissed her and some other things happened. She said the incident occurred after a party at the U.S. team's figure skating camp in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Wagner told the newspaper, I was absolutely paralyzed in fear. Coughlin died by suicide in January, a day after he received an interim suspension from the U.S. Center of Safe Sport and U.S. Figure Skating for unspecified conduct. He was 33 years old. And Kate McGrath, who won the 1999 World Cup and two Olympic gold medals on the women's soccer field with the United States women's national team, is expected to be named the first general manager in the history of the squad. That's awesome stuff. The Washington Post reported yesterday that Kate was the front runner for the job. No agreement had been finalized as of yesterday evening, but a deal is expected to be completed in the coming days. Kate made more than 200 appearances for the U.S. between 98 and 2010, known then by her maiden name, Kate Sobrero. In Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, the Bloomfield Hills, Michigan native, started 5 of 6 games for her country in central defense as the U.S. won the 1999 World Cup on home soil, widely regarded as a watershed moment for women's sports. Awesome stuff. All right, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it moving. We'll be right back. All right, folks, happy Thursday to you. We've got Alec Rio behind the glass. Happy Thursday to you, Alec. How are you doing, my man?
I'm doing good as always. You know, can't complain. It's Friday Eve, you know?
Definitely. And it is a Friday Eve. And I want to remind everybody that I will be out on Friday, taking a trip to New York City just for a day. And, you know, we'll probably be running a, looks like from the looks of things, it will be a best of show that we will be rolling in tomorrow at 1 p.m. So just a heads up on that. Mark D'Antonio, he spoke today because today is like the opening day for Michigan State football training camp. Media day for Michigan State football would take place on Monday, which I can't believe. MSU football media day on Monday. Pretty incredible that it's right around the corner. And again, you know, football is in the air now. It is August 1st, and very soon, you know, we are going to be talking about Michigan State football and whether or not they can, you know, pick itself up off the ground after what happened last season, a season in which they certainly performed below expectations. You know, the low scoring 7-6 loss to Oregon, you know, in the bowl game to finish out the year. The questions on offense, you know, that's going to be, we all know what the big questions are going to be come Monday for this team, when media members everywhere are going to be interviewing players and throwing questions at Mark. I'll be in attendance. Media day on Monday will take place from 2 until about like 5. So Mark will speak. Then they will bring out the offensive defense, and, you know, multiple players will be made available. All right. So just wanted to let you guys know that. And Alec, maybe you can check on Twitter. Can you please check on Twitter just to see if anything came out of Mark D'Antonio's media availability today at 12:30? Because I don't believe so. From what I have seen, I don't think anything sexy has come out. You know, and Jack Kerwin and I, we joked yesterday because Mark D'Antonio, he's not going to give you a lot. Especially during training camp, day one, right? He's not going to give you anything sexy like, yeah, oh, a roster update, or, you know, Brian Lewerke looking great, you know, or, you know, we figured out the running back situation. No, it's too early. You're not going to hear anything sexy come out of Mark D'Antonio's mouth this early. But it's just cool just to see, you know, and then also just walking around campus, man. You know, I spent some time this morning just kind of walking around campus, and, you know, I heard whistles blowing, and it sounds like I heard some pads hitting each other, helmets hitting each other. So just awesome stuff, because we're located literally down the street, probably about like a, I don't know, like 10-minute walk, 2-minute drive, you know, from the Michigan State football practice field, as we're located here at the College of Communication Arts and Sciences here at Michigan State University. So, yeah, we have that luxury. And I tell you this, a lot of people don't know this. When I had my office, when I first got the gig here at WKAR, my office was on the top floor here at the building. And I could kind of peek and see right over the barrier of the Michigan State football practice field. And from time to time, I would kind of peek out and just see what the guys are working on. So I had like, I felt like 007, man. I had some insight that nobody knew. So, not anymore, though. I'm here on the second floor now. So I missed that office, and I had windows in that office. We don't have windows here on the second floor here at WKAR, but I had a window that I could peek through and just kind of spy, you know, what is Michigan State working on? So, all right, I just want to comment on the Detroit Tigers before we hit this first break and invite Michael in the third to Current Sports. You know, the Detroit Tigers made some moves right before the trade deadline went off, right before that clock struck 4 p.m., just moments to spare. We saw starter Matthew Boyd. He will remain a Tiger, but the other trade chips, closer Shane Green and outfielder Nicholas Castellanos, have both been dealt away, each to National League contenders. And, you know, now that the dust has settled a bit, you know, taking a closer look at these moves, the first deal of the deadline for the Tigers came just a bit after 3 p.m. when it was reported that Shane Green would be heading from Detroit to Atlanta. Now, the Tigers later confirmed that they are to receive pitching prospect, as I mentioned in the headliners, Joey Wentz and outfield prospect Travis Demirde in exchange for the all-star closer in Shane Green. So at 21 years old, just to give you some background on these prospects, which Alavila likes, obviously, or else he wouldn't have made the move. At 21 years old, Wentz, he was ranked as the 7th overall prospect in Atlanta's farm system at the time of the trade. That's according to MLB Pipeline. And the lefty starter has a 4.72 ERA, 5-8 record through 20 AA starts this year, and could find himself among star prospects Casey Mize, Matt Manning, and Tariq Skubal. So with the Erie Seawolves starting rotation. So they'll immediately begin playing there. And, you know, when you look at the other move that was made, Tiger fans were really biting their nails. When 4 p.m. came, you know, I went and got some food, and I'm listening to national sports talk radio, and then I turned locally, and people were, like, you know, calling in and so nervous. Like, I mean, if the Tigers don't make another move before 4 p.m., Al Avila, what are you doing? Are you really going to let Nicholas Castellanos move and then leave this squad for nothing at all? So, as that deadline approached at 4 p.m., still no news about trading away Nicholas Castellanos. And, you know, again, he's set to hit free agency this season. And, you know, Alec Rio brought up, you know, the soundbite of him not being pleased about the metrics of Comerica Park and how it's not hitter friendly and how something needs to change. And he was just always complaining, a seemingly contentious relationship with the organization. So, and then I started to see, you know, people out there tweeting, you know, right before 4 p.m. And then after, you know, I saw some tweets around 6 p.m. that Detroit actually kicked in roughly $500,000 to complete the Nick Castellanos deal. So the Cubs will take on about $2.5 million of his salary with a chance for more October baseball at Wrigley Field. Tom Ricketts stretched the budget for baseball operations. So the Cubs wanted to make this move, and they certainly got it done. So, in return, the Tigers received two right-handed pitching prospects in Paul Rechaine and Alex Lang, ranked at number 16 and 23rd, respectively, on MLB pipeline of Cubs prospects. Both Rechaine and Lang should require at least another year or two of development. This is what I'm reading here from fan-sided when it comes to these two. And, quote, could possibly both experience a move from the starting rotation to the bullpen in the Tigers organization. So Rechaine is 22 years old. He was selected by the Cubs in the second round of last year's MLB draft after three seasons at the University of San Diego, or as Ron Burgundy would say, San Diego. Rechaine has started 17 games in 2019 for the single-A Myrtle Beach Pelicans, 10-5 record, 3.97 ERA. The Cubs selected Lang in the first round of the 2017 MLB draft, 30th overall pick he was that year. Not a great record. 3-12 record, 5.82 ERA in 18 minor league starts between single and double A this season. So I think these prospects are okay, but at the end of the day, I'm just glad that the Tigers got some moves done here. Two moves done. I like these couple of moves because, you know, you were going to let these guys walk for nothing, and that would have been an absolute crime. Right now, it's just about, you know, stocking that farm system and hoping that you have some diamonds in the rough, because this organization is not going to make the playoffs. Actually, statistically, the Tigers, you know, a few days ago were mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. Playoffs are done. Goodbye, playoffs. This team is in the basement. Stock your farm system and hope that a few of those guys can become some studs. All right, so at the end of the day, I'm glad they got this deal done, because I would have came here on Current Sports and absolutely just reamed Al Avila, just like many people would have. All right, so let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Michael Lynn III, one of three former Lansing Catholic football players who were invited to the Democratic presidential debates in Detroit at Fox Theater these past 2 days. They were invited by presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke for kneeling during the national anthem, standing up for racial injustice here in America and equality here in these United States. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And before we bring on our guest for today's Current Sports, Michael Lynn III, who along with Matthew Abdullah and Rojay Williams, who attended the presidential Democratic debates, Beto O'Rourke invited all three young men out there for those debates due to those four, I should say, players deciding to take a knee during the national anthem to protest racial injustice here in America, inequality. Before we get to Mike, I want to go to our phone lines right now. Ray from Indiana is on line one. What's up, Ray?
Hey, you remember me talking to you about Paul Feinbaum yesterday?
Yes, I know you're a regular. You call into Paul's show all the time.
I've been calling there for a year. Guess what? The first time I talked to him, I started telling him about what the bullies pulled on me. You know what he told me?
What's that?
He said, Ray, if I'd have knew you 5 years ago why this was still sanctioned, we'd own that university down there, me and you.
So he had your back. He had your back, all right.
I think he used to be attorney, didn't he?
I'm not sure. I have no idea.
Wouldn't that be funny, me pissing Paul Feinbaum into court with the bullies?
Now, that would be hilarious. That would be. But that's what he told you, huh? When you called in and told him the story about how you believe U of M did you wrong.
If I'd have knew you 5 years ago, right, we would own that university.
And I'm looking here on his Wikipedia page right now, Ray. I don't know. Okay, I don't think he's a lawyer.
Hey, here's one thing before we leave.
Yeah.
Go Spartans. Go Buckeyes and go Irish. Put a whipping on them when they play this fall.
Thank you, Ray. Appreciate the call, my man. Gotta love Ray. Ray from Indiana. Yeah, Ray apparently is a frequent caller on Paul Feinbaum's ESPN radio show. Paul Feinbaum, the radio personality, former columnist, sports author, TV on. He's on TV all the time. He's not a lawyer, though. I'm looking it up right now. He is not a lawyer, but, Paul does a pretty entertaining college football show, and apparently Ray calls in all the time, just like here on Current Sports. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show and then Current Sports with Al Martin. So appreciate the love, Ray. All right, do we have – we don't have Michael Lynn III. I just texted him, too, so hopefully we get him on the air. He has not answered yet. So, Alec, we'll keep on trying to call him, and we'll try and get him on the show because I really want to get Mike on the show. We confirm yesterday, but, hey, that's live radio. I guess some people forget from time to time. All right, while we're trying Mike, I do want to talk about, what has happened with the NFL when it comes to all these holdouts. Now, this has been, a hot-button topic here on Current Sports these past few days because, more and more now, and I really do believe that Le'Veon Bell has started a trend here where players in the National Football League who are not happy with their contracts, and some, I'm sitting there looking at some of these players and I'm just like, what, dude, you've got two more years on your deal left. I mean, why don't you just play out this season and then, maybe into next season with a year left, maybe you can vie for a restructure. But with 2 years left, I mean, you're really going to tie your team's hand like that? But I get it. I mean, hey, it's on the flip side, I've tried to argue for the athlete because I believe when you talk about these big pro sports organizations like the NBA, like the NFL, they don't care about the player. It's a business. It is a business. These GMs, these owners look at these players as dollar signs. You know, very rarely do you have an owner that's looking at a player and truly cares about that player. I believe, this is just my thoughts, and the way owners and GMs operate, it adheres to that very, very notion. So you look at what's happening, though, and you compare. I just want to compare the NBA to the NFL, because what puzzles me, what I don't understand, is how the National Football League, which is the king of sports here in the U.S. of A, I do not understand how the NFL, which has such an influx of money, TV contracts left and right, how the NFL can't pay its superstars what we are seeing the NBA do. You know, it's amazing. It really is. And now I'm looking at an article here. This is coming from Forbes, and this was published in July of last year. And it kind of just details the 14 NBA players that are making more than any NFL player, I guess, coming into the 2018 seasons for both the NFL and the NBA. And it's written by Kurt Bandenhausen, who is on the Forbes staff. And it goes on to look at numbers and salary cap numbers. And he says that in total, there were 14 NBA players, and that number may have gone up by now with all of the record NBA deals that we saw in this latest free agency period. But last year, at this time last year, there were 14 NBA players with contracts worth more than most of the NFL. And he uses the comparison of Matt Ryan, NFL quarterback Matt Ryan, who was now, and I have to look these numbers up now, but I'm referring to this piece from last year at this time, July of last year, Matt Ryan being the top dog, signing a 5-year, $150 million contract extension with the Atlanta Falcons back in May of last year. And in total at the time, he's looking at this and saying there are 14 NBA players with contracts worth more than Ryan's in terms of average salary. So the NFL salary cap in 2018, $177.2 million, which is much higher than the NBA's in 2018 at $101.9 million. Now, of course, let's just state the obvious here. NFL teams need to fill a 53-man roster, while NBA teams only have 15 on a squad. So that breaks down to an average of what? $3.3 million per player in the NFL versus $6.8 million in the NBA. The NFL does not have a maximum salary, while the NBA limits new contracts to 35% of the salary cap. Now, most NBA teams treat the salary cap really the way like what drivers regard the speed limit posted on the highway. 24 NBA teams exceed the cap last season, according to figures from Spotrac. And four teams pushed past the $119 million luxury tax threshold, which cost them a combined $115 million in penalties for excess payoffs. So basically, NBA teams are looking at the cap and saying, yeah, skip the cap. We are willing to pay our superstars whatever it takes because we want to win. The NBA's upper hand in salaries versus the NFL, it really marks a crazy, dramatic shift from now, what, 6 years ago. If you remember when Kobe Bryant was the only hoop star with an average salary greater than the NFL's top contract. Kobe Bryant, 6 years ago, was the only NBA player who was being paid more than any NFL superstar. It's crazy. In the top contract 6 years ago when Kobe was that guy was Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. But then in comes the NBA's $24 billion TV deal with ESPN and TNT. Now, that began in 2016, and that caused a crazy, ridiculous spike in the salary cap, resulting in these maximum contracts available. Now, the NFL and NBA players are both entitled to around 50% of league revenue under their respective collective bargaining agreements. Those allocations include the cost of player benefits for things like pension plans and retiree health care. Each NFL team kicks in $40 million for those costs. Compare it with $10 million per NBA team. Now, again, I believe that's because of mass more players in the NFL compared to the NBA. Because when you look at the NBA, when it comes to pension plans, retiree health care, the NBA kicks in $10 million per NBA team. So revenue for NFL teams is roughly $14 billion compared to $8 billion in the NBA. Wow, that is a lot of moolah. But when you look at the NFL, it's not like the NFL. Now, I must say, yeah, when you look at that ESPN and TNT TV contract with the NBA, $24 billion. Yeah, it's the NFL, which it's amazing to me. The contracts that the NFL has with ESPN, with Fox, with CBS, don't believe it's that much, but it is still a lot of money. And it's amazing to me when you look at the superstars in the league and you compare them to both sports, it's amazing to me how the NFL, which is the king, is now becoming second fiddle pay-wise to players in the league and to players in their league. And I believe that creates, whether players will admit this or not, that creates a bit of jealousy among pro athletes, especially in 2019 when the ego is through the roof. We've seen certain said NFL athletes come out on Twitter sphere during NBA free agency. I saw it during this year's NBA free agency. NFL players out there tweeting like, what? I should have picked up a basketball instead of a football when I was young. Looking at the money that's being thrown around in the league. It creates some jealousy because just to compare it onto a much smaller scale in corporate America, you know, if you're working for one company that specializes in something different, i.e. different sports, NFL, football, and NBA basketball. But you're looking at that other company that specializes in something else, and you're getting paid a certain amount at this one company, pretty good amount, but you're looking at what's happening over there, you're saying to yourself, whoa, don't we make more money at this company? You know, haven't we had revenue that eclipses all revenue within this market that we work in? Why aren't we seeing those dollars? This isn't fair. I should be paid more. I should be being paid more. And Le'Veon Bell, he was a trendsetter with this because he felt like his value was worth more than what the Pittsburgh Steelers organization was willing to pay. Now, I also have another layer to that conversation. I have a difference of opinion when we talk about Le'Veon Bell, because I thought that, and I still believe this, when you play, and it seems like I'm picking on running backs. It seems like I've been doing this for now for the past 2 days because I kind of went at Ezekiel Elliott, and I agree with Jerry Jones when Jerry Jones made the comment that you don't need to have an elite running back if you want to win a Super Bowl or compete for a Super Bowl. I think he's got a really good point there. I'm not picking on running backs here, but I'm just saying when Le'Veon Bell came out and announced that he was holding out and sitting out until the Pittsburgh Steelers gave him the contract that he wanted, I thought he was crazy. Because you are a running back You have a lot of miles on the tires already. Yeah, again, you don't necessarily need a running back to be a great NFL team and go deep in the playoffs. You know, heck, look at John Connor last season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, he was a great, quote-unquote, fill-in for Le'Veon Bell as he decided to hold out the entire year. And I just thought the amount of money he was asking for was crazy. Now, Le'Veon Bell did get paid more than what the Steelers were offering by going to the New York Jets, but it wasn't this groundbreaking, earth-shattering contract. It was a good contract. But as far as, you know, holding out and trying to set a precedent for other NFL running backs out there, that contract didn't do that, in my opinion. But anyway, Le'Veon Bell holding out, getting more money, going to a different team, I think it opened up other players' eyes. And they said, if Le'Veon did that, got a bigger, better contract, and Le'Veon looks as though he kept himself in shape as well. He didn't put any more miles in the tires last season, and now he signs a bigger contract with the New York Jets. It worked out for him. But I just really hope that this doesn't become a huge trend where we're starting to see more and more players do this, because it just takes away from the game, man. You know, you want to see the best of the best out there. And I think at the end of the day, this may force the NFL to start bumping up pay for some of its superstars. And you know who else it worked out for? Just ask Michael Thomas with the Saints. $100 million, becoming the highest paid wide receiver in the game. So if this continues to happen, we may see more and more players do it. It just takes away the experience, man, at a certain point. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Steve on before we hit this final break. Steve is on line one. Steve, you are on Current Sports.
Hi, Al.
How you doing, my man?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good, good. What's on your mind?
Hey, okay, what's an average football player's life? How many years do they get?
The NFL That's lifespan, right. the average lifespan of an NFL player, the last time I looked, is about 2 to 3 years, not long.
Okay. What's the lifespan for an NBA basketball player?
NBA is around 3 to 4, so not too bigger.
Really? I thought basketball had more lifespan than football.
Yeah, by like a couple of years, a 3 or 4. so we're talking about the average player here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we're looking at the average player here. Those are the stats that I've seen, Steve.
Okay, I'm just putting my comment in, because offensive or defensive linemen, they're not, lifespan's not very long, is it?
No, not at all.
Not at all. And so you got a basketball player that's sitting on the bench making more than an offensive defensive player in football?
Right. So you're in favor of the holdout for these players in the NFL then? You think that you have no problem with them holding out then and saying, hey, pay me more money?
No.
Right.
Not at all.
Right. I hear you. And you don't see, I think it's more so, I mean, Alec, correct me if I'm wrong, but I haven't heard of like a defensive lineman holding out. It's more so been like the playmaker guys.
Like a running back.
Right. Running back.
Right.
Wide receivers. Those kind of guys.
Quarterback.
Right, yeah. I haven't heard any quarterbacks.
No, I haven't either.
Right. It's more so been running backs and receivers for the most part, Steve.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, I agree.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for the call, man. Okay. Appreciate it.
What?
Oh, did you have something else?
No, that's it.
Thank you.
I was just waiting on your conversation.
All right, thank you, Steve. Appreciate the call, brother.
Thank you, Al. You have a great day.
All right, you too. You do the same.
All right, thanks. All right.
And yeah, that's the thing. You look at the lifespans of these players. If a defensive lineman was sitting there, if he is a top defensive lineman in the league, Alec, and he's looking at his salary and he believes he needs to be paid more if he's not being paid, you know, if he's a top five guy and not being paid top five money, that defensive lineman should hold out, I believe. You know, it's all circumstantial. The only point I'm arguing is that, you know, you have to be realistic at the end of the day. And for running backs, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, these NFL coaches and GMs are looking at you as, you know, what can you do? They're looking at you as a machine. All right. How much can we get out of this machine before it begins to decline? And running backs have a shelf life. When they hit a certain age, when they hit a certain amount of carries, where we start to see a decline. So the closer you get to 30, the less amount of money you are going to be paid. That's just how it is. But the amazement factor for me is when you compare that to the NBA, you know, and the superstars of the NBA, even the quarterbacks of today's NFL, guys who have long careers, the elite of the elite, they're not getting paid what many of the NBA superstars are getting paid, which is crazy to me. And this is the most lucrative league in North American sports. It's at our final break. When we come back, we'll have Throwback Thursday for you. We'll take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. A little Wu-Tang for you on this Thursday, August 1st, 2019. Yeah, who are you listening to these days? Alec, I've been listening to YBN, Cordae, Lost Boys, or Lost Ones. Something Lost. It's either, I think it's the Lost
Ones. I think it's Lost Ones.
Yeah, the Lost Ones. It's an amazing, amazing album. J. Cole produced a track with him and Anderson .Paak. I love that one.
Anderson .Paak's amazing.
Oh, he's man. And those two together, they like go. They have a verse where they go back and forth. It's in the production is amazing. J. Cole bodied the beat. It's amazing. And also, Pusha T is on one track that's great. I mean, this kid is a lyricist, man. I didn't know much about him until I started reading rave reviews about his new album. And you know, Joe Budden came out and gave him a lot of praise. And you know, he's meeting with Dave Chappelle. Quincy Jones is on the album as well and gives this kid a lot of praise. And this kid, I think he's only was he 21?
He's still in high school, I think.
Is he 19, 21?
I don't know. I think he's he's either 17 or 18, I think. He's really young.
Really? He's that young? Oh, let me see here. 21. So he's 21. Yeah, he's 21.
Never mind. I was a little off then.
1997. Yeah, because I watched the interview with him and Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God, and DJ Envy on The Breakfast Club, and the kid is just so well-spoken, man. So that's the guy I've been really listening to. And, of course, my old school, I was jamming out to Chaka Khan last night at the gym. So who's on your playlist right now, man?
Well, I've actually been listening to, I don't know if you've heard of him, but DaBaby.
Of course, yeah.
His stuff is really good, especially his XXL freestyle. You can tell it's not a freestyle, but it's definitely really good in terms of lyrics.
Freestyle, right? Yeah, freestyle.
Yeah, freestyle, I say in quotes.
Yeah, but
the XXL this year wasn't really that great besides DaBaby. And have you heard of Megan Thee Stallion?
Of course. Meg, her album is great, too. I've listened to a little bit of that as well. So, yeah, Meg is also on YBN Cordae's album, too. So, yeah, she's everywhere. A reminder that tonight at 6 p.m., the Moneyball League comes to an end. After tonight, I should say. But at 6 p.m., you will have the semifinals, then you'll have a break, and then you'll have the championship game. There is also going to be a Moneyball three-point contest. And there's going to be, let's see here. $10 entry fee. Winners of each division gets $150 in Moneyball gear. There's 10 shooters max per division. So that is taking place. And I believe I could win that. Man, if I didn't have class tonight, I would light it up. Man, $150 in Moneyball gear, too. That's a lot. So tonight, the Moneyball League Championships will take place. You will have at 6 p.m. Team Roots, the 3 seed, taking on Team Dimension, the 5 seed at 6. Then you have the Moneyball three-point contest at 7, and then an hour from 7 to 8. I mean, that three-point contest shouldn't take that long. I don't know. It's a lot of contestants, though. But at 8 p.m. is when the championship game gets underway. Maybe the Moneyball three-point contest will take that long. I don't know. Who knows? But Team Roots versus Team Dimension at 6, three-point contest at 7. And then Team Citron will take on the winner of Team Roots and Team Dimension at 8 p.m. in the championship game, Citron being the number one seed. So go on out the final night of the Moneyball Pro-Am Summer Basketball League in its 16th year. All right, with just a minute left here. Wow, time flies when you're having fun. Just a few events of note here on this Throwback Thursday. On this day, back in 1986, John McEnroe and Tatum O'Neal were married. Congratulations to those two. I hope they're still married. Hopefully, I don't know. I have to look that one up. 1993, Reggie Jackson was admitted to the Baseball Hall of Fame in New York. And also back in 1972, Joe Namath signed a two-year contract worth $500,000 with the New York Jets. Can you just imagine? That was a lot of money back then, but my goodness, that's nothing now, right? All right, folks, we'll see you next week on Monday, actually. Again, I'm out Friday. Have a great weekend, and be easy, people.